When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Hi, my name is
Dan Campbell. Not surprised. He's got big onions.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Demo to the house.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
This is the type of game that was needed.
Earlier on the show, Bills running back James Cook, actor and host Rob Lowe. Coming up, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Rob Lowe just left our studios. What a delightful, as always, funny, engaging appearance with the host of The Floor on Fox. Season four debuts tomorrow night at 8 Eastern Time, and we kick off hour number three that also includes our Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday segment, as well as your phone calls, as well as TJ, Steal Yourself.
Okay.
Jerry Jones's latest from his 105.3 The Fan of the Metroplex appearance.
Get ready.
Macca.
That's who he's talking about.
Is he going to say something like we're still in playoff hunt or something? Because I don't think I can take
no,
it.
No, I don't know. I'm just, you'll just be on the edge
just,
of your seat.
Just sit tight.
But I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Yeah, exactly. There's lots of ways that Jerry Jones chat can go.
I just want to get another drop.
By the way, I am just a couple of bites into the James cookie.
It's right. Delicious. Bro.
Yes.
My God.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Hoskins wants one in the back. Will somebody get Mike one in the back?
If you
oh, yeah, I'll go take him.
For John.
Bring him a box.
Hoskins and John both are
asking. While I chat with our next guest back here on the Rich Eisen Show, the host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast and fresh off of calling Raiders Commanders on Fox is our friend Mark Schlereth. Good to see you, Mark. How are you?
I am doing great. I've never had the chance to meet Rob Lowe, but my college buddies still call me Big Fat Rob.
Oh.
So, yeah, that was my nickname in college was Big Fat Rob. I had back in the day, you know, I had this mullet and I was pretty fit and ripped. And so they used to call me Big Fat Rob Lowe. And so anyhow, I've never had the chance to meet him. I always wanted to because, you know, of the moniker that was bestowed upon me. But I never had that opportunity.
I would imagine being called any size of Rob Lowe is good.
Yeah,
you know
right?
what I mean? Like, yeah. If any hearkening to his looks, you'll take big, fat, little, you know what I mean? Like all of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Right. You know what I mean? As long as it ends with Rob Lowe, you know, then you're good.
Yeah, I never had an issue. Big Bob. They call me Big Bob Lucky, Big Fat Rob, big whatever it was.
Oh,
I'm like, I'm
my.
In. That's awesome.
Mark Schlereth here. All right, let's just jump right into it, Mark. Your level of concern for Ashton Jeanty, having seen what you saw, having talked to the staff, as I'm sure you did, leading up to the broadcast of Raiders and Commanders, what is your concern level for Ashton Jeanty, even though it's just three games for him?
My concern level for him as a player, you know, when I hear people say, oh, he doesn't have it or he's not the guy, that's foolishness.
Okay.
That kid is... I think I've heard you say it before in regards to Mo Jones-Drew, a bowling ball of butcher knives. Like, he is going to be a really good player. I think one of the things you have to understand is for running backs. And I watched in my career, you know, playing with Terrell Davis as a rookie go for 1,100. And then as a second year player, go for 1,400. And then as a third year player, goes for 1,700. And then as a fourth year player, go for 2,000. And part of that understanding is it's more than just knowing what you're supposed to do. It's knowing what the defense is doing. What is the strength of the defense? What is the weakness of the defense? And how do I adjust based on those things pre-snap? So let me give you a for instance. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you're playing what we call a 25 front, meaning the will backer is off the ball, the mic is off the ball, but the Sam is lined up on the edge, outside eye of the tight end. Well, when you get that, if you're calling that, let's call it strong right, and that Sam linebacker is lined up on the line of scrimmage, outside eye of the tight end, that guy's job is to set the edge. So as you press that, you want to get the backers running, but at the same time, you know, hey, man, there's probably almost 100% certainty I'm going to cut back on this. And so you have to understand kind of based on that defensive front, what my responsibility is and what the likelihood of me being able to take that ball outside or having to cut back. And you've got to learn those things. Part of it's trial and error. Part of it's just having a better understanding, a better feel for what's going on. Now, the concern is the Raiders couldn't block their way out of a wet pepper sack. And like I've got a couple of guys on there. Deron Payne for Washington is a really good player. And I think they've got a bunch of really good players. But they don't have anybody other than Deron Payne, who's an absolute war daddy on that line of scrimmage. And their offensive line was awful. It was purely awful in this. So the combination of not being able to block anybody and then Ashton learning exactly what he is supposed to do, that's a bad combination right off the start. And I thought the right side of their offensive line with their right tackle and their right guard was just subpar at best. I mean, that's probably an insult to subpar things, but they were subpar at best.
Wow, that's saying a lot. So it's like you're not concerned about the kid's ability. He's just got some stuff to learn about playing running back in this league. And, you know, that kind of tracks with him coming off the field on third down and not being part of 2-minute drills as well, Mark. Or when talking to the coaches, did you pick up on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, talking to both coaches with young running backs, it's not so much when they have the ball in their hands. They'll figure out what to do with the ball in their hands. It's how do you affect the game when the ball is not in your hands? How are you in blitz pickup? How are you with spatial awareness when you're running routes? Do you set guys up? When you find man versus zone, can you find a soft spot in a zone? Can you, you know, run away from guys that are playing you in man? It's learning how to play the game without the ball in your hands. And you think about it, as a college player, when you're that gifted as a running back, you don't ever have to worry about not having the ball in your hands. You're always the primary. You're always involved. In the pro game, it's a little bit different. You know, it's like that third receiver that you ask to run, you know, routes that we call them for the love of the game routes. Your job is to run that route at full speed, even though you're number three or four in the progression, you're probably not touching the ball, but you're running that full route speed, or that route at full speed, and you drawing coverage and you holding coverage so we can get something behind you. Those things are dramatic. They're dramatic and they're so important. And I think the average fan just doesn't understand the value you have in doing the dirty work so other people can succeed. It's one of the things I love about football, Rich, is that it is the ultimate team game. And if you've got selfish guys who are running half-assed routes because, oh, I'm not getting the ball and I'm going to pout, well, then everybody fails on the offensive side of the ball.
Mark Schlereth here from Fox Sports, just called Raiders Commanders. You have Patriots and Panthers this week. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show, The Stinkin' Truth is his podcast. What'd you make of the Lions win on Monday Night Football, Mark?
Man, they are so talented, especially offensively. And that first week of the season, you know, we talked about the lack of continuity, new coordinators, all those different things. And, you know, it looked to be what happened week one. But since that point, man, they have been on point offensively. And, you know, just a tip of the cap to Jared Goff. And I've done so many Detroit games over the years and had such a relationship with not only Ben Johnson, but, you know, obviously Dan Campbell, their head coach, and talked to Jared Goff many, many times. Jared Goff, when you talk to the powers that be in Detroit, they rave about his accuracy and just his toughness in the pocket. And there's a guy that can't run away from anybody, right? But can slide in the pocket, manipulate, and how he throws the ball into traffic as good as any quarterback in football. And if we're breaking down top 10 quarterbacks in the league, I don't know that he makes the top five, but he's somewhere between six and nine. He is that damn good at what he does. And they've surrounded him with great players. But his ability to operate that offense, be accurate with the football. Yesterday, it was the run game that really set them apart. And, you know, as much as we talk about Detroit, you look at what's going on with the Baltimore Ravens here, lost that game to the Bills where they gave up over 40 in week one. And then here again, close to 40, 38 points they gave up again just 3 weeks or in week three. So, like, the Ravens were a team that I think we all thought, hey, man, this is a Super Bowl contender. If you don't figure out what's going on the defensive side of the ball, and two really good opponents, to be sure. But, you know, the Baltimore Ravens right now, you're kind of wondering what's going on there.
Yeah, 96 points they've allowed through three games. That's the most in franchise history through the first three games of the season. Now it's the Chiefs they're visiting. The Chiefs come off of that win against the Giants. We'll talk about them and their decision that was announced moments ago, or at least reported moments ago, about Jackson Dart. But it's Chiefs-Ravens in week four, bud. And that's for loser goes 1-3. And I'm wondering which one would you be concerned about going 1-3 the most, Mark?
I'd be the Chiefs. And, you know, offensively, we've seen what they've been able to do. They've been a juggernaut for the last, 7-8 years. I mean, they've been incredible. They're not incredible. And if you ask me to point one thing out offensively that they've done well, I can't give you one thing that they've done well.
Right.
They haven't blocked anybody well. They don't run the ball well. I mean, going into last weekend, Patrick Mahomes was their leading rusher. So they don't really block anybody. Andy Reid has never really wanted to win by running the football. That's never been his thing. You saw the blow up on the sideline with Travis Kelce and Andy Reid, and Travis just does not look like he's got the same burst at the top of his route. That hasn't gone well. And you don't have a go-to guy. You know, you don't have one thing that you do. And I always say this, you know, just throughout my own career of playing offense, it's important to have one thing that you can hang your hat on. People always say, well, how do you fix this team's running game or this whatever? And I go, find one thing. It's like Curly from City Slickers. Remember Curly from City Slickers? He goes, yeah, the key to life is one thing. And then he drops dead, right? Well, for me, football, the key to life is one thing. Find me one thing that we do well. And then we can change it up with formations and motions and shifts. But we just run that one thing. Make it look like six things to the defense. But give me that one thing. Let me build my identity in that. And then all of a sudden I say, hey, man, let's run some play action off that. Let's learn play pass off that, run action, play action, whatever. But all of a sudden I can start building on something that I can hang my hat on, you know, a tenet that I can hang my hat on. And right now I look at the Kansas City Chiefs. I go, there is not one thing I can point to that I say, hey, man, they're really good at this.
Well, two things. First of all, of course, I remember Curly from City Slickers, the actor Jack Palance. He won the Oscar for that role. And by the way, spoiler alert, give somebody a heads up if you're going to talk about somebody saying that's a line and then point. Drop a dead, Mark. I mean, I understand we're talking football here, but still, I mean, you gotta have your head on a swivel here if you're listening to Mark Schlereth. My gosh.
Right.
Okay, so you're concerned about the Chiefs more than the Ravens. I would get that too, especially because the Chargers are sitting there 3-0, having beaten every single team in the division. And now here comes the Chargers going east. I'm surprised the Giants say, let's hit the Jackson Dart button now. I know 0-3 doesn't look good, didn't look good in weeks 1-3. You could chalk up week 2 looking the way it looked for us because the Dallas defense is less than. But I mean, to say to the kid, all right, go get him, and that Chargers defense is on the other side, that's a tall order, Mark. I'm wondering what your thought is on the Giants' decision here to start Jackson Dart in week 4.
Well, I said it probably on the Stink Truth podcast. I said it probably 10, 12 weeks ago. I'd have benched and cut Russ and started Jackson Dart right off the bat. And one, I don't think the Giants are a really good football team. And like, I'm looking at the future, and the future is not Russell Wilson. The future is Jackson Dart. So I don't blame them. And I look back to Sunday Night Football, and you get first and goal from the 4-yard line. And in several consecutive plays, you throw an incomplete ball that you threw so far out of bounds. I think you got an intentional grounding call on that to make it second and goal from the 14. You close your eyes and you bury your head in the middle line of scrimmage on a design QB run, and you get 4 yards. And then you throw two more balls 8 yards out of bounds. And I'm sitting there going, at some point, you got to quit worrying about your legacy. And, hey, I've already thrown 2 interceptions. I'm going to throw another one. At some point, you got to put it on a receiver. You got to throw it into traffic, and you got to give yourself a chance to score. At that point, it was 22-9. I mean, that in and of itself to me was a benchable offense of your quarterback. That's a quarterback that's what are you doing throwing the ball out of bounds in those three situations on fourth down and goal? You threw it out of bounds 8 yards over the head of anybody else on fourth and goal. You tell me what you're doing. Other than saying, hey, man, I don't want to have, you know, a legacy breaker by throwing one more pick. I mean, for crying out loud, I've already thrown two. Like, I don't, what are we doing? What are we doing? So that to me is the ultimate selfishness.
No, I understand.
That's selfishness.
Mark, I understand what you're saying, but this is still the future, and you got to give the kid a chance. You know, and he might come out and look great, and this could be a cold take, right? But you've seen the Chargers defense. There's some there's some grown ass men, and they were the top scoring defense in the NFL last year. They look just as good this year, and I mean, to basically say go get them. I understand it's a benchable offense from Russ. You got the Saints the next week. I don't know. I guess this way you get 2 starts on your belt, 1 on the road, 1 at home, before you take on the Eagles twice in 3 weeks. And then the Broncos are in the middle of that. Yeah, and you know how good that defense is as well, Mark. So
yeah, there was no easy situation. And that's what one of the reasons I said I'd start from day one, because their schedule is brutal. It's absolutely brutal. And so everybody, you know, had talked about that New Orleans game maybe being that as the headliner. But, you know, maybe you go get a feel for this against the Chargers, and then you've got an opportunity to win at New Orleans, but it's not going to be easy. And then you mentioned it. You got San Francisco, you got Philly twice, you got the Packers, who up until last weekend were the best team in football, in my opinion. And then, you know, Chicago and hey, Matt Eberflus, by the way, finally figured out how to get the best of Caleb Williams, didn't he?
Wow.
Congratulations.
He finally
figured out. You know, it took him all last year. He never quite got it. But hey, listen, man, now he finally got it. Congratulations to Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams for figuring it out together, man. What a unbelievable opportunity, and what a unbelievable showing from the quarterback.
Now, Mark, I called a game last year in which Caleb Williams threw 4 touchdown passes against the Jaguars for Matt Eberflus. So,
okay,
but I know what you're saying.
It's the second time. It's the second time Matt has had him play well.
That hurts. Okay. That hurts.
All right. But so that is the one thing. And, you know, and then I'll get close to letting you go here, Mark Schlereth. The Cowboys back end of the defense without Micah on the front end of the defense is a bad recipe right now. And with CeeDee Lamb being out, I am genuinely concerned for the Cowboys. Tell me if I'm right or wrong here, Mark.
Yeah, no, you've got every right to be. And ultimately, I mean, the Cowboys' defense has given up explosive plays on the defensive side of the ball like it's their job. I mean, it's one after the other. It's a 20-yard gain. It's a 40-yard gain. It reminded me, watching that tape, it reminded me of, you know, one of those Christmas shows that Oprah Winfrey, like, you get 40, you get 20, you get a 20-yard gain, you get a 20-yard gain, you get a 40-yard gain, you get a touchdown, you get a touchdown. It's just been, like, it's been mind-boggling, the amount of breakdowns they've had, the amount of missed assignments they have, and then you know, ultimately you look at a guy like Diggs who just isn't right. You can tell that he's not 100% coming off the ACL. He's been getting, I mean, they just run by him like, I mean, it's just unbelievable to watch that stuff. So their defense is struggling. They're giving up all kinds of big plays. And I'm with you, man. I'm really concerned about the Dallas Cowboys because I thought with Dak back, if they had that defense squared away, a little bit better running game, they'd be okay. But Dak's not going to be able to overcome, you know, 8, 10, 12 big plays a game, explosive plays a game.
All right, before I let you go, Eagles, Bills, Chargers, Colts, Bucks, Niners, I believe I'm getting all the 3-0 teams right here. There's some 2-1 teams like the Rams who almost made sure the Eagles weren't on that undefeated list. And you got, again, the Lions we saw last night, 2-1. There's another handful of 2-1 teams that I'm not talking about right here, I'm sure. Which is the best team in the NFL through 3 weeks now,
do you think, Mark? Yeah, I would probably pick the Bills for what they've done. The Eagles right there. The Eagles were so impressive because they really didn't look very good for three quarters. And then it was like, we know how to win. We know what we're doing. Let's flip the switch and let's go quit, you know, messing around. And that's an impressive victory over the Rams. But I'd probably give it to the Bills number one, probably Eagles number two.
Okay. And what do you think of when you see Jordan Davis at 336 pounds do what he did as a big man, Mark? What
are you thinking? Thank goodness I don't play this game anymore.
come on now. Look at a big man with football. Fourth heaviest man in the history of the National Football League to have a thick six of 50 or more yards, period.
Can you imagine being that big and fast and strong?
Scooped
I can't.
He scooped
but you,
it too.
You can't imagine that, but I can because I was that big, fast, and strong. I actually covered kickoffs as a rookie for the Washington Redskins. R1, running down, busting wedges at 285. I was only 285. I was a skinny guy back then.
Nice. The man, the myth, the legend, Stinking Truth Podcast with Mark Schlereth. Thank you. Or big fat Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
I believe Smitch is. Look at that. Dude.
Look at that guy.
Who would be called
that? Sexy.
What a unit.
That's you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big fat. That's, I don't, who calls you big fat when you're looking like that? Ooh. This is from Idaho? Is that what I'm saying right
that
there?
That was in high school. I was seven, I think 17 right there.
You were in high school?
At about 220.
Damn.
That doesn't even seem fair.
Yeah.
The other 17
year olds. It wasn't fair.
That's not fair.
It wasn't. It's not fair. Okay. No.
All right. Big fat Rob Lowe. I will have to push back on that.
0% fat Rob Lowe is what that is.
Right?
Okay.
Shredded all right, Rob Mark. Lowe. Great to chat with you, man.
You be well. You too. Take care.
There he is. Right, there he goes. Mark. Check him out on Fox for Patriots and Panthers. Panthers coming in with some momentum off of that one.
I feel bad that Mark has to watch that game.
And the Stinking Truth Podcast. All right, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. They offer auto, home, and commercial auto insurance. Visit progressive.com. When we come back, guess what? Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, and Jerry Jones talks Cowboys with his local radio show audience.
Oh, boy.
And it's Micah Week as well.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
There's a reason Chevy trucks are known for their dependability, because they show up no matter the weather, push forward no matter the terrain, and deliver. That's why Chevrolet has earned more dependability awards for trucks than any other brand in 2025, according to J.D. Power. Because in every Chevy truck, like every Chevy driver, dependability comes standard. Visit Chevy.com to learn more. Chevrolet received the highest total number of awards among all the trucks in the J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study. Awards based on 2022 models. Newer models may be shown. Visit jdpower.com/awards for more details. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
The Jack Welch Management Institute at Strayer University helps you go from I know the way to I've arrived with our top 10 ranked online MBA. Gain skills you can learn today and apply tomorrow. Get ready to go from make it happen to made it happen. And keep striving. Visit strayer.edu/Jack Welch MBA to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV and has many campuses, including at 2121 15th Street North in Arlington, Virginia.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. We're back on the air. Here we go. Ready? Ready, TJ Jefferson? Are you ready?
I'm not. We're going to play it anyway.
It's a Tuesday. It's a Tuesday, and it's Jerry Jones appearing, and it's Packers week, and Micah Parsons is coming to town.
Let me get the kendo stick.
Jerry on 105.3 The Fan. Any competitive drive, Jerry, to beat the Packers with Micah Parsons coming to your house this week? Your answer, please.
Jerry, do you feel any extra competitive drive to win this week with Micah Parsons coming back?
Yes. Yes, I do. Have said this time and time again. I think the world of Micah, and as an individual, and of course know him well. And I might say I wish him well, except it's obvious I don't this weekend in terms of Green Bay winning the ball game. And so it makes for an exciting time, and I'm anxious to see if over the years when I saw Michael mitigated, when I saw teams playing pretty well, which it's he's going to make some plays no matter how you play. But when I saw people play us well with Micah in the game, and it did happen, then obviously we'll be looking to try to run those kinds of plays.
Micah.
Well, what did
he
just say?
Michael would, no, what he basically said is that when Micah was in there in the past, and we had difficulty stopping the team that was playing against us and Micah, we're going to be looking at those plays and basically doing the same thing. That's what I gathered right there. So, hey, somebody's going to go to Micah in Wisconsin and basically go, so there were some plays that Jerry was saying that you were in on and the defense didn't do well, and they're going to try and replicate that. Your thoughts?
Micah.
I'm telling you, TJ Jefferson.
Okay, can I stop you before you say it? Because I know what you're going to say. You say week four, we're going to turn the page.
Over.
Not going to happen, Rich.
When this week is over, there will be less conversation on this subject matter week after week after week, unless the Packers go deep into the Super Bowl playoff run. And if they make the Super Bowl in San Francisco, the media session that for Micah is going to be half about this, and each and every day it'll be more and more and more. And on NFL game day morning on NFL Network, when we're doing a pregame show that starts in 5 minutes, it will be a large part of the conversation. That's the way it's going to play out, but we're not there yet. And in that regard, on 105.3 The Fan of the Metroplex, Jerry was asked about why not make the trade sooner.
Yeah.
Because if you did it before the draft and you basically left Micah in Green Bay where the draft was, you could have had some draft choices to utilize right now. Certainly on, I'm assuming, the back end of the defense, front of the, yada, yada, yada. Hit it.
Looking back, doing it over again, would you have traded him earlier in the offseason?
No. No, not at all. Not at all. We needed this timing. We needed to be right here at the beginning of the season, in my mind, to get the highest value. I heard people talking about, well, why didn't you trade him back before the draft? Because draft picks become the most valuable timing-wise. You can have them in the offseason before the draft. That's when the pick becomes much more valuable and the player becomes less valuable if you're trading a player for potential picks. So I knew the time to get the picks was while this season was available to whoever got Micah. Having said that, the timing was right when it should have been.
That doesn't make any sense.
I want to say something, but I can't into the mic because Burke is here. But like, what is he like? What is he talking about? That doesn't even make sense to me.
It doesn't make.
By the way, a great fantasy team name is Name Checking Management. Write that down. Name Checking Management.
Dude,
Micah.
The answer to that question is, if you're taking in the entire timeline of events, at that point in time in April, they had already had conversations in the office about extending him and talking about his leadership role needing to be strengthened. And the Cowboys were ready to do it. If Micah said yes to the deal that I guess they discussed in his office, instead he put a hold on it by saying, talk to my agent, which started this whole process. Like, that's why they didn't trade him before the draft, is they thought they had a deal. And they thought that the deal could somehow get made still, which is why when the training camp season started, he told you as a Cowboy fan not to lose sleep over it. And then things just turned completely sideways. Completely sideways in a way that is just still mind-blowing to me. If it really was all about, why didn't this kid just take the deal that was offered to him? And then when he said, it's not good enough, I improved it. We took a handshake agreement, and then the agent came in and started screwing it up, and I'm not talking to the agent. Like, if that's truly the way it went, that's why a trade didn't go down before the draft, because there was still enough time to get a deal done. Not like this business of, well, it's better to get the picks before the season. It's not. Certainly if you're trading it to a team that's going to be, that was already a playoff team from last year that you could potentially supercharge into a Super Bowl team, that's as close to a second round draft choice as you're going to get. Or you trade him to Green Bay before the draft, that that's who you're going to trade him to, and you get a higher pick than the one that you're going to get potentially next year by improving the team, by sending him to the team that they're sending him to right before the season. You're potentially getting a lower draft choice than the one that you would definitely know it's already a fixed position right before the draft. Makes no sense. But that's just the way the Cowboys do business, and it's part and parcel of it, quite honestly. All right. Since you're name-checking people who are sitting here, I might as well just, you know, take the entire cover off and just ask my coordinating producer straight through the camera. Do you want to take a break now or take a phone call, or do we don't do Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday after the break? What should I do? Yeah, we're going to do it. We'll do it one. What do you think? No, do it after the break. How about I take a phone call and we'll take a break? Alan, Dallas is on the line. Yeah. Is Albert on the line? Is that what we got right here? Okay. Al, what's up, sir? What do you think about what do you think? Al, did you see that apparently the back page headline of today's New York Post was Jackson's start? Did you see that?
Yeah. That's tremendous.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess.
I'm a voracious reader of the New York Post. I guess.
Point. Well, I mean, if you want to tell me who's wearing it better in page six, you could do that too. In all honesty, that just goes to show you how there was some sort of pressure being built, I guess, locally. What's your two cents on your Giants starting Jackson Dart?
Listen, no pun intended here, but Daboll's about to be in the jackpot. You know what I mean? Like, this is it.
You're right. This is it.
I mean, it's got to be the Jackson and Cam show. I mean, it just, because, you know what, you remember what they said to Ralph Kiner, right? You know, you hit 50 home runs. We finished in last place with you. We'll finish in last place without you. I mean, this. I didn't want this to go down this way. I thought Russell would have played better, but like they're taking water. They're taking in water, and they got to score. This is an offensive league. Most defenses stink, right?
Not so the one he's starting against this week, Al. They don't give up points. They 17.7 points per game on average last year for the Chargers, and they're better this year.
Well,
better.
What are we going to do? You know, let's go. You know, I mean, I wanted to. The thing is that I was a huge Herbert fan, wanted him, didn't get him. Mm. Now we got to place him with Jackson Dart, and I love it. Listen, if we're going to lose, I might as well lose and be entertained. We're not entertained. That was awful. That was awful. The Cowboy game, look, an aberration. The Cowboys stink. We all know that, right? Hey. So, no offense, TJ, which, by the way, your Mets think, too, by the way.
Hey. Al's pissed. Al's in a mood. Yeah. Al's in a mood.
This is awful. This is awful. The Mets,
Dodgers are good.
Boy, they. But listen, it is what it is. But, like, I didn't want it. You know, I came in with this bravado prediction, which is probably the worst of all time that I've ever done on the show with you guys and with the Giants record, but we got to do something, man. We can't have it. I got a place to send Russell Wilson, by the way. How about the Cincinnati?
Ooh. No, stop. You know what, man? I mean, this whole business with everybody thinking that Jake Browning's no good. Let's stop that nonsense.
I just want to get rid of my guy. I don't care who's got where he goes. It's one mouth.
Brother, they might just cut him. They may just cut him. I don't know what they're going to do with Russ. I have no idea. That's to be discussed, but thanks for the call, Al. Appreciate
thanks,
it, man.
Boys. Thanks,
that is Alan Dallas, literally one of our longest callers into this program, 10-plus years. We'll take a break. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Maybe we sneak in another phone call right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Does it ever feel like you're a marketing professional just
speaking into the void?
But with LinkedIn ads, you can know you're reaching the right decision makers. A network of 130 million of them, in fact. You can even target buyers by job title, industry, company, seniority, skills, and did I say job title? See how you can avoid the void and reach the right buyers with LinkedIn ads. Spend $250 on your first campaign and get a free $250 credit for the next one. Get started at LinkedIn.com/campaign. Terms and conditions apply.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, one big happy simulcast family on Disney Plus and also ESPN, the app, and ESPN Radio. Just want to ask you one more time the rhetorical question of what makes the all-new Hyundai Palisade an incredible SUV. There's a spacious interior. You can go off-road in it, and you get up to 600-plus miles of range. Could also be the driver behind the wheel. It's all of those and more. The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603 for more details. Fun show so far here. Rob Lowe in hour two. James Cook in hour number one. He's sent James cookies to our studio. We're all getting fat on him. And then a guy said he was nicknamed Big Fat Rob Lowe in college. Mark Schlereth. If you missed all that, there's our podcast version wherever you get your podcasts through the ESPN Pod Center and all of our friends at ESPN. And Overreaction Monday still sitting there. No Contest Wrestling. You and O'Shea Jackson Jr.
We recorded last night.
Came back from WrestlePalooza where hosted the PLE event show.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a mouthful, but Road to WrestlePalooza did very well on their YouTube and Facebook pages of ESPN. I'm saying all of that to say that if you don't get our podcast, how dare you? This is a segment version. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
Christopher, well, let's start it.
Everybody good? Good to see you guys. We got James cookies. Couldn't feel any better. I love it.
It's a waste of 10 seconds.
Oh, how can you say that?
What else?
You know who feels really good today?
Who does?
Not me.
Man Campbell and the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
They're the best team in the NFC.
I'll go with... I said they're making the Super Bowl.
Week one was essentially a preseason game, right? And if you look at the... Who cares? They're playing so terrible. They're uninteresting. They're boring. I saw Drew Brees on First Take today said Jalen Hurts isn't even one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
Now, that's kind of nutty.
Kind of agree with him through 3 weeks. The Lions give you everything you want.
Chris.
Everything you want.
Chris, there was a Christmas tree lit by Jalen Hurts in the second half of that game. That's quite a hot take.
I mean, that's more of a
turning into a hot taker.
Eagles win, Rams lose. That's more of a Rams lost that game. In my opinion,
you could make this case. It's not an overreaction. I don't think. I mean, I chose them to go to the Super Bowl, so how can I sit here and say no to that? But the Eagles are 3-0, and the Bucks are 3-0.
Bucks could be 0-3. Like, let's be honest.
Or they're 3-0 because that's like the same way. You know what? I would have won that poker hand if it wasn't for the river. The river is one of the cards you have to count.
Yeah, but mathematically speaking,
last 5 minutes of a game,
you were ahead the whole time.
Right.
I mean,
so
they
what?
Literally won the game on the last play each right. of the previous three weeks.
It could say that they sucked out on all the teams, but you know who doesn't suck is Baker Mayfield, and that's why you're 3-0. Come on now. The Bucs play the Eagles this week. Can't wait for that. The Bucs play the Lions the week after. We're going to get an answer, aren't we? And the Packers might win the next 2 weeks and be better than all of them. So
Lions.
All right. Not an overreaction, but I'm still pointing out the others. What else you got, Chris?
Well, you're going to love this one.
Oh, boy.
I want to look ahead to week four. Only a few days away. But you think about these two teams. We talked about it earlier. One of them played last night. We watched them play in week one last year, a year ago. These teams have Super Bowl aspirations. Uh-uh. The loser of Chiefs-Ravens this week.
Don't say he's out.
Is going to miss the playoffs.
First of all, no way.
1-3.
I know that.
The loser of this game.
I understand that. How many games are left for them?
Just quick math, after next week, there'll be 13.
Get out of here with this nonsense. Overreaction.
What about the Ravens gives you, hey, they're going to turn this around?
Can I ask
They've
you
given
question?
Up as many points as the Great. Dolphins.
Let's say the Chiefs beat them. Let me ask you this
Why
question.
I would be shocked because Chris, that would mean they'd have to score more than 20 points a game, which Chris, they don't do.
Let's say the Chiefs beat them. Okay. Is it possible Minnesota beats Pittsburgh in Ireland?
Yeah, for sure. I would expect
Is it
that,
possible
actually.
The Broncos on ESPN Monday Night Football beat the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions, you just say, is the best team in the
best
NFC.
Best team in the NFC.
Beat the Cleveland Browns, right?
For sure.
Okay. Then the Ravens would be one game out of first place at 1-3. That's it. And if the Chiefs lose this game at 1-3, it's a taller order for them to actually win their own division. A much taller order. But for them to be 1-3, they're not out of the realm for a playoff spot. Rashee Rice coming back. Xavier Worthy getting healthy. Next question. What else you got over there? Come on now.
Just a flat-out dismissal.
A flat-out dismissal. Like it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon at a New York City public school.
I might do this on Overreaction Tuesday every single week just to see what you'll say.
Yes, sir.
The one seed in the AFC is going to be either the Bills or the Chargers. Book it.
Oh, I don't think that's an overreaction. Other than the fact of being disrespectful to Danny Diamonds. But I'm with you. I'm with you. They're the best team through the first 3 weeks in the AFC. Best teams in the AFC. 100%. And they don't play each other in the regular season. I love it. I love it. I'm with you. What's next?
This is for all those people in the comments yesterday who were like, oh, Panthers win 30-0 and nothing about them.
Why do you make them sound like that?
That is how they all sound.
Okay.
Anyone in a comment sounds like that. The Panthers are going to finish second in the NFC South.
That's not an overreaction. I had the Panthers beating the Falcons. I lone wolfed it on NFL game day morning. I lone wolfed 4 of them. I got 2 of them right, 2 of them wrong. I chose your Patriots. I lone wolfed the Patriots at home.
Well,
look good for a while. Oh, but Pittsburgh won it at the end.
We're going to go 1-16. We're terrible.
Oh, don't stop it. That's not an overreaction. At all. It's not going to be the Saints. And I think they're already one up on the Falcons. What else are you talking about? Like, how is that? Okay, I'm with you. They could beat if your Patriots go 1-16, that means the Panthers go 2-2. I'm with you. I lone wolf the Panthers this week. Thank you.
They're coming around. They're not as bad
what
as
else
they
you got?
In the first couple weeks.
Look at you. We're on a roll right here.
We're on a roll. If the Texans finish third or worse in the AFC South,
get rid of Stroud. Is that where you're going?
They should wait on giving CJ Stroud an extension.
Hey,
we are entering that territory right now.
He's kind of not getting the protection up front. And with all due respect to Nick Chubb, which now allows me to be disrespectful, they better hope that Joe Mixon comes back healthy. And I'm hearing that is not going to be the case anytime soon. The run game isn't threatening. The offensive line isn't protecting. And I think Stroud is getting worse for it. So...
It's been a
not
rough,
giving
it's
him
been
an
a
extension
rough watch.
Is a tall order. I mean, they're going to pick up a fifth-year option. So,
but this is the time. After year three, let's reload. And you got to wait on that. Pump the brakes. You're going to give him $55 million a year after the way he's looked?
No. I would take $55 million and give it to an offensive lineman. That's what I would do.
And make him play out year four?
That's a tough. Yeah, make him play out year four.
Ooh. Ooh. But Tua and Trevor Lawrence get their money when they've done Jack.
You know how I go about this, Chris. It's their time. But Nick Caserio comes from your end of the business in New England, where, right. You know, there's not a lot of kumbayas and warm fuzzies about the past. It's about future. But Nick needs to address that offensive line first and see what Stroud. Let's not forget, Stroud made the Final Four last 2 years, man. He's won playoff games in his first two seasons, but it's looked pretty terrible.
It's looked rough. All right, last one.
Okay.
I'm looking at.
I
don't want it.
I want the drop.
You think we need one more?
I know. Okay.
All right, we'll get one more.
Yeah, now one more. I did not.
I didn't want any of the drops.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's George Clooney and my son Cooper.
Come on, we love those.
Go ahead.
I need another cookie. Two of these, I'm talking about divisions here, the NFC West and the AFC East. One is great and one is terrible. The NFC West is going to have twice as many wins this year as the AFC East.
I don't think that's an overreaction.
Right now it's 9-4.
9-4. Hey, man. But they haven't played each other yet except Arizona and Seattle. I mean, Arizona and San Francisco.
Nobody has less than
Seattle.
Two wins in NFC West.
I know.
The Bills have three of the four wins.
I don't think this is an overreaction. You're talking about the Jets are winless and the Dolphins are winless and the Patriots have just one win.
It's rough.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills should start printing playoff tickets already. I don't think that's an overreaction either. See? And we got in one more drops, including George Clooney and my boy Coop.
That's 30 seconds we'll never get back.
Oh, God.
But heaven forbid. But heaven forbid I say hello to everyone.
How's everyone here? Everybody all set?
Heaven forbid.
Guys, no. You're breaking us up.
Micah.
Or you got
Micah.
Who says it better?
Oh,
Rich. Micah. So you're saying
that's the real McCoy.
You're saying Micah. After week four, we don't have to hear this anymore?
Oh, no. We're going to keep hearing the drop.
Callahan knows this better.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Yo, this is important, man. My favorite Lululemon shorts, the ones you got me back in the day, I think they're Pace Breakers, the ones with all the pockets. Well, I just got back from vacation and I think I left them in my hotel room. And dude, I need to replace these shorts. I wear them like every day with that Lulu hoodie you got me. Could you send me the link to where you got them? Thanks, bro. Talk soon.
Looking for your newest go-tos? Shop Lululemon's best sellers now at lululemon.com.